We greet you in the precious and worthy name of Jesus this morning. Grace be unto you in peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We appreciate everyone that's here this morning. It's good to have visitors here, good to have people here that we have grown to love and appreciate so much over the years. And just thank you for being here. One thing that I was blessed in the Sunday school lesson, they all continued in prayer and supplication. And I think that's fitting for us this morning, that we continue. That would be my heart's desire, that we would continue. Now, I have a picture of that verse, more than just prayer, but the supplication makes it more really putting forth effort, really putting our heart to it. Supplication to me is just, we're really serious about it. So I need an interest in your prayers this morning. I desire your prayers as we look into the Word of God, that we can find something that will encourage us, that will help us, that we can apply to our life. I was so blessed with the scripture reading this morning, James chapter 1. I memorized that chapter many years ago, and it's probably one of the chapters that I go to that one when I'm out working. I start from the beginning and just go through James chapter 1. There is so much in there. Just and how often I cry out to God, Lord, give us wisdom. And he talks about continuing in the Word and being doers of the Word. And we didn't read that scripture this morning, but it's in there. And not just deceiving ourselves, not just, you know, we're Christians, we look like one, but we're deceiving ourselves because we're not obeying the scripture. And we can come to that place that we get stale, or we're not really excited, and we can get there. So thank you, Bob, for the thoughts that you shared from James chapter 1. Beautiful scripture. This morning, to begin our message, I would like to invite you to turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, and I'd like to read this chapter, and then we want to draw some from this chapter and also look at other verses. Isaiah 55, and on the heading of my Bible, it says, God offers mercy. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace, and mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Now, when we think about this chapter, there's a lot here that we could cover. We won't be able to cover all of it. But one thing that is a blessing to me, in verse 11 it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth from out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, and it shall accomplish that which I please. God can take the word and speak to each need that's here this morning. Man is not able to do that. The Holy Spirit will speak to the needs that are here this morning. When we're faithful to read the scripture, explain the scripture to the best of our ability, what the Lord speaks to our heart, God will take that. And he may speak to one of you different from someone else. It may affect you different. Something may convict you or really bless you that, you know, that's amazing. And that's why it's so important that as we stand behind the pulpit and as we look into the Word of God, that much prayer and supplication is given to God on the behalf of us that speak. We don't want to say anything that God doesn't want us to say, but we want to be open to the Spirit and allow him to use us. Now, it starts out here and it says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now, is it important that we thirst? Do any of you thirst? I know some people thirst a lot more in the physical sense. Some people do so good in drinking a lot of water. I should drink more. But let's think about this in a spiritual sense. Is it important? When we go through the scripture and we look into the Old Testament or the New Testament, especially in the New Testament, is it important that we thirst? We want to consider that. Now, we right away, in our mind, we think about, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And what is the promise that goes with that? They should be filled. So this morning, when I consider myself, am I thirsty? Is it important? What does Jesus say about drinking? He gives us some instructions. And we think about the account that happened there in John 4 with the woman at the well. We turn to that in John chapter 4. And we know the account here when Jesus met this woman at the well. And Jesus told her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. Now, the woman at this time was thinking about, you know, oh, if I could get this kind of water, I wouldn't have to come here to this well again and pump water and carry it back. But that's not the lesson that Jesus is teaching here. In verse 14, or in verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now I have a picture here of this water. This water that we can be satisfied with the Lord when we feel or have experienced that connection and have been drinking this spiritual water, it's like a well that just keeps on flowing. It's satisfied. It's there. It satisfies our need. It satisfies our spiritual thirst and hunger for the Word of God. Now, that's not the only place that Jesus talked about this water. In John chapter 7, again, he's talking here about rivers of living water. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." So, is that something that we can feel in our own heart? Can we feel this water, this spiritual water, this living water flowing from our heart? And can we see it in each other? Should we be able to see it in each other? I think we should. We can see that there's something different. There's something happened. It's just flowing out of that person. Now, do we still feel that this is important? Let's turn to Revelation. There we notice in Revelation 21:6, "And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." So it's something, it's freely, he gives it freely. So it's important that we have this thirst as we go through life. As we, this is in Revelation, this is towards the end of, and I have a picture here of towards the time when God will call us home. And we go to chapter 22. In verse 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." So is thirst important? Very important. It's the only way. It's the only way that we'll make it is if we have this thirst. And as the Spirit speaks to us, come. Come. And I'll fill you. I'll use you. This water will be flowing out of you. It will be your source of life. Now, in Isaiah, it talked about, are we thirsty? Are you thirsty? And then it goes on to say, talks about, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. So this morning when we think about that, we spend a lot of money. We spend money, let's put it this way. We spend money that sometimes we don't really need. But it would be handy to have. We think that if we could just have this, I would be happy. I would be content. I would be, but is that really what God wants us to do? Are we really, do we feel this morning that our soul is satisfied? We feel that power from the Holy Spirit in our life and we're satisfied. We are content. We are content. Our soul delighteth in self, in fatness. Now, the other morning, I went out to start a vehicle that I needed to work on. It was a nice vehicle. And when I got there, I opened the door, I put the key in the ignition, I turned the key, and nothing happened. I said, wait a minute here. What is going on with this vehicle? Why doesn't it start? So I opened the hood, and it had a motor in it, so that looked all right. It had oil in the motor, so that looked all right. And those are two important things to have in a car if you want a car that you want to go somewhere. A motor is important. It's important to have oil in it. All that looked good. What is going on? Why doesn't this thing start? It had a battery sitting right there. Looked like a good battery. Why didn't it start? So I checked the cables on it. Cables were fastened. They weren't corroding. I said, what is going on? So I went and got some more testers. I tested it. And the battery was dead. There was no power there to start the car. And I thought about that. Sometimes that's the way it is in my life. Maybe the power is gone. I look okay. I feel all right. Maybe I can even say the right things, but there is no power there. Nothing to start me. I'm stuck there. Later, I went to the other end of the shop and I wanted to do some welding. So I got the grinder out. I had to do some grinding before I weld a new weld on it. I even put my safety glasses on, which is very important. Everything looked all right. I hit the switch. It wouldn't start. And it just went through me. I don't want to buy another grinder. Why did this grinder burn up right then? So I checked it. I forgot to plug it in. It didn't have a source of power. And again, I thought, we need a connection. We need that spiritual water flowing in and through us. And we need to have that connection before we can work. We can go through the motions, but I'm talking about a blessing. We heard this morning about temptation. We heard about trials. When we face these things, if there is a connection, a good battery, electricity, those are just earthly things, but they're so handy to have that. When we have that connection, the power that we can feel and have in our heart, it's amazing. We need that power, that connection. Now, I've often wondered, in looking at Matthew 25 and thinking about the 10 virgins, I'd like to read that account. Matthew chapter 25, the first 13 verses. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now, why didn't they take enough oil? What's important about taking a lamp and not have some power there to start it? The 5 took their lamps. They were virgins, but they didn't take oil. They didn't have that power to burn the lamps when they needed it. But it says the 5 that were wise took vessels with their lamps, took oil in their vessels. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. So they all did the same thing. They trimmed them to get them ready to burn, to get them ready to light them so they could see, or whatever, however, in whatever way that they use that, to be ready to meet the bridegroom. And then the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out. We don't have enough oil. There's no more power there. There's no more there what we need for this lamp to be burning to meet the bridegroom. And the wise said, no. No. Unless we don't have enough. Unless there's not enough for us. Go ye and buy. Lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went, the bridegroom came, and they were ready when they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. So now they have their power, their source, their oil for their lamps. Now they have it. Open to us. Lord, Lord, open to us. But how sad. But he answered and said unto them, said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. I know you not. They looked, they probably all looked alike. They were virgins. They had lamps. They trimmed them. But what happened? There was no power there. There was nothing coming from within to light these lamps. And I don't even know you. How sad. There's no connection there. I don't know you. But it doesn't stop there. It says, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. That's talking about us. Do we have that connection and have that power? Our lamps are trimmed. Our lamps are full of oil. We have what we need when Jesus comes, when the bridegroom comes. We have what it needs. Now, when this water, this spiritual water in life is flowing through us, what does it help us to do or to be? When we think about, Jesus told us, he gives us in Scripture, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Why does he tell us to go in at the straight gate? The one way is broad, it's wide, it seems like it's an easy way. And it says many are going in there. So why do we need to consider that there is another way? Jesus said, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. Now who is that talking about? There's many on the one way. There's few on the narrow way. Is that talking about us here? You know, Friday we were sitting there at the wedding and all these people came to the wedding. You couldn't tell by coming in. You couldn't tell if they had oil in their lamps. You thought you could. I mean, it looked like everything was fine. But which way are they on? Which way am I on? Am I content with, you know, I'm sure that as many of us as are here today, we can say and feel that I'm content where I'm, the road that I'm on. I think I'm on the right road. Is it good enough to just think that we're on the right road? Do we need to know that we are on the right road? We feel a connection, a power. Then Jesus said, I mean, even before that scripture about the narrow way, he says, ye are the light of the world. What kind of light are you? So in order to have that light, something needs to come from within, right? Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Ye are the salt. But today we're thinking about a light. Now, One of Brother LJ's favorite verses in the New Testament, I have often heard him quote this, and I want to read it this morning. In 1 Peter, verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He has called us out of that darkness and into his marvelous light. So we have something, and it's only as we have been called out of that darkness. And we could go back to John 3, and Jesus tells us, men love darkness rather than light because of what? Because their deeds were evil. Because their deeds were evil. So today, what do we think about our light? Are we shining for Jesus? Do we have something to shine about? Yes, we do. We've been delivered from darkness. We have something in our heart. We have something to shine for Jesus. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's the kind of light. To glorify our Father in heaven. Not us, but to glorify God. That's what we need to do. Now, all of you that were at the wedding the other day heard me quote when I united the hands and asked God's blessing on them. I quoted the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Be with you and bless this union abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. And what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Now this is all scriptural. Let not man put asunder. Go forth as husband and wife. Live in peace, fear God, and keep his commandments. Now those of you that were there heard that. Or you could, I think you could hear it. I think the sound system was where you could hear it. Now, where does that come from? Where in Scripture can we turn to that would support that? This morning, we want to hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Does that ring a bell? Where do we turn to? Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What all does it say there? And I was thinking about that, again, just going over those, what we ask and what we share and pray for the couple. And I thought about it, well, this is for all of us. This is encouragement for all of us. In chapter 12, verse 13 and 14, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That's our duty. Everyone's duty is to keep his commandments, to fear God. Now, how do we fear God? You know, we could spend a lot of time on just thinking about fearing God. We respect God. We hold such a high esteem, or it's hard for me to describe, to put it into words. We respect him. We realize that, God is able to take our body, to cast us into outer darkness. You know, the scripture tells us to don't fear those that can kill you. But they can't take your body, or can't take your soul, your spirit away from you. But if we're disobedient, if we don't keep his commandments, this is the whole duty of man. Now, the thing that caught my attention is in the next verse. In verse 14, For God shall bring every work into judgment. Now, we've heard that before. God shall bring every work into judgment. But it doesn't just stop there. It goes on to say, with every secret thing. Does that put new light on it? With every secret thing? Do I have secrets? Do I have a secret that I have not taken care of? You know, back when we were young, when I was a little, you know, I grew up with a family of, you know, there was many of us. And if you wanted to keep something, I mean, sometimes we had to hide things or someone else would find it and it would either eat it or would read it or would do whatever. So we had a lot of secrets. And sometimes we would tell our best friend, can you keep a secret? And they would say, sure. So you tell that person. Then you find out that that person went and told their best friend, I'll tell you a secret. So you all at once you have all these people that are keeping secrets, but everybody knows about it. Here God is saying, God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And I was thinking and meditating on that. Do I have things in my heart that's keeping and hindering this power, this light, this lamp, this connection, this living water flowing from my life? Nobody else knows about it. I'm ashamed to say it. I'm ashamed to confess it. Or maybe it's just something I like it too much. I don't want anybody to know about it. But we can't hide it from God. This is in the Old Testament, but we have New Testament scripture that we want to turn to. In Romans 2, verse 16, it says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. When God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. So, it's easy to understand. We can't have secrets. God knows. God knows. We can't hide anything from God. We can't hide. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now we understand that. We're going to have to give a judge. We're going to be judged and give account of what we've done, good or bad. Now, I want to say along with that, according to 1 Timothy 5:24, says, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men follow after. Now, the way I would understand that is, and I want you to correct me if I'm wrong, is that those secrets that we have struggled with, those temptations or whatever we have had to deal with in our heart, we can repent. We can confess and repent. And these can go on before us. But now, I also believe that it's real that Satan can make us, rock us to sleep and say, well, we'll just wait until that last moment, that 11th hour, and then we'll confess these things. That is dangerous. We cannot do that. We cannot do that. We need to do that now. Here in Isaiah 55, it talks about, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Now, we don't have time this morning, but I could take you to scripture in the New Testament that says, there comes a time when they no longer had an opportunity. They neglected or didn't think it was necessary or for whatever reason. They didn't have a chance. again to seek him. I mean, to that he was available to them. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the time to repent and to be ready, to not have secrets in our life. And it's very important. We also, my mind went to Galatians chapter 6. And we all are very familiar with this scripture. Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8. He be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's something that we cannot get away from. If we sow to the flesh, if we sow to the worldly things, if that's what we have in our heart, that's the secret that we're hiding in our heart, we're going to have to reap. We will have to reap regardless. We will have to reap. And sometimes, even though we repent and everything is taken care of, there are times when things still happen that it's hard to explain, but it is a part of the reaping, this thing of reaping the teaching or the doctrine of sowing and reaping comes back to haunt us or to affect us. It's very, very serious. Now, and one more thing that came to my mind in thinking about judgment. In Matthew 12, verse 33 to 37. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now, am I guilty of that? Do I do that sometimes? What is an idle word? How can we be caught in this? It says, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. So I think we need to be so careful, even what we talk about, the things that we think about, the things that are in our heart. Maybe we even think about it or think it. Recently, someone told me, we were discussing something about something that someone said. And he made this statement, why can't people just shut their mouth and not say it? But what if it's in here? According to this, it's going to come out. We're going to have to give an account of every idle word. Now, that would be an interesting study. I wish someone would explain that more. What is an idle word? I looked at the dictionary and it says useless. It's no good. But how often we enjoy these little, whatever you call them, about funny little things, little things that happen. Are these things wrong? They make us laugh. Are we guilty? Am I guilty? It's serious. So this morning, when we didn't even cover a lot of the verses in Isaiah 55. We don't understand. It's hard to explain that, but for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We have a God that has mercy and will pardon us if we are truly repentant and confess. He wants to accept us. He wants us to have this water flowing through us. But are there things that are hindering us? May the Lord continue to speak to us and convict us and show us area. And we have the promise that he will take his word and it will accomplish what he wants it to. May the Lord bless you. Let's all stand for a word of prayer.